happy Friday to all y'all. It's the end of the week and we've made it together. Hope you got big weekend plans. Perhaps you even have a Christmas party or two to go to this weekend. Be safe out there and enjoy what we hope is going to be a wonderful, wonderful weekend, a precursor to next weekend, which is even going to be more wonderful. Walking in a winter wonderland here across the South these next couple of weekends. John Rawl, the general of all things Southern. Good to have you aboard as we kick off this program, wrapping up the week. We got news headlines coming in. Mark Meadows, the former North Carolina congressman that ended up being Donald Trump's chief of staff the last couple of months when he was in office. He's got headlines about him today that we'll get to. Plus, we know now, speaking of the whole Trump issue, the issue in Georgia, that is, we've got information on Sidney Powell and Kenneth Cheesebro. Those are the attorneys for Trump that have already pleaded out, and they've penned apology letters, but it's not a whole lot of a letter to it. So we've got that story, plus some great news coming out of Tennessee after all the devastating tornadoes, an EF3 tornado pushing through the area and more. We have a uplifting story to tell you about how a baby has been found alive, thank goodness. And we've got that story to pass along in today's Y'all Show. Some political goings-on. Matt Gaetz gets into a little dust-up with another congressman. I've got that story. Plus, a Georgia congressman has decided not to run for re-election. We have that coming out of the state of Georgia. Talk about a porch pirate. A porch pirate that has the kahunas to go steal from a UPS truck. And now, story out of Memphis, approximately 60 packages have been stolen from one UPS truck in the Memphis area. What in the world? We got stories on that. What in the world on this number? One Fort Worth school district has had an 88% teacher turnover rate. That's hard to have teachers do well when they don't stick around. We have got that story coming out of the Lone Star State. A Arkansas football player arrested, and we'll tell you about that in our coverage of all things Southern today. This player is arrested and accused of burglary in Northwest Arkansas. Speaking of sports, the St. Petersburg Rays, that's what some members of the St. Petersburg City Council were hoping for. We've got some information from the world of Major League Baseball about the Rays, and are they going to change their name? Let's find out. Also, some transactions Thursday with the Rays of St. Petersburg that are called the Tampa Bay Rays, at least for right now. It used to be called the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. I kind of like that name better. Dolly Parton is putting her money to work in the state of Florida. I'll tell you about a $60 million pirate-themed dinner show heading to the Redneck Riviera. Got that story coming up. Plus, some information on pine trees. And did you realize that the song Jingle Bells has a connection to the South? It was actually written by a Southern guy who ended up fighting in the Confederate Army. I'm going to tell you about James Lord Pierpont and our coverage of all things Southern today. What a great song that's now officially probably going to get canceled because of his connections to the CSA. But I've got stories on that and moon pies and a lot more on this Friday Y'all Show with our news headlines of the day. Here in this opening hour of the program, we also will be bringing you all of the information that you need from a social media standpoint. We have coming up later this hour, we have, in case y'all missed it, ICYMI. That's where we go back in time on the show and find a good clip or two to run. And earlier this week, we had an author join us on the Tuesday Y'all Show. Matthew Kaye was on talking about his new book that has just come out. It's called Forest for the Trees and Other Short Stories. And we're going to rewind back to Tuesday when Matthew Kaye was on talking about his new book and a little bit about his writing style. We'll have that before this hour wraps up. Hour two today, Paul Hare checking in on what's going on with the market and more. Has your Wall Street portfolio blossomed this week? For some of you, the stock market was a pretty good deal. Paul's going to help us make sense of finance and more when he drops by in hour number two. We also have in our second hour today a look at some movies that are hitting theaters this weekend. Wonka is among them. We'll tell you a little bit about that. We'll even have the trailer for Wonka that we'll play in Hour 2 as part of our Dixie Cinema. Hour 3 today, we're going to kick it off with David Lee Murphy. And then, today is a historic day if you're a lover of the National Association of Stock Car Racing. Today, NASCAR kind of got going back in 1947. And as a salute to NASCAR, we thought we would have a little bit more about NASCAR, how its season this year wrapped up. And also, I have found a singer that was a pretty good NASCAR racer in his day, Marty Robbins. And so I'm going to have as part of our Friday Free For Y'all the last hit song that Marty Robbins had out on the radio. And I'll tell you a little bit more about Marty Robbins, Mr. El Paso himself. We'll tell you about the pretty decent racing career he had. He actually suited up and raced in NASCAR races back in the 60s and 70s. And we're going to learn a little bit more about Marty Robbins, not just the singer, but the race car driver. As a salute to NASCAR's foundation, which happened on this day in 1947. We also have social media fun that we'll be telling you about, an Edgar Allan Poe book to tell you, and how about Stax, not the record company, but Stax Restaurant in the Memphis area. They got a couple of locations that are expanding outside of Tennessee, and I'm going to introduce you to Stax, spelled S-T-A-K-S. I know there's some in the Collierville and maybe the Germantown area's got one too. Stax Restaurant, somebody has brought that to our attention, and we're going to tell you all about it. Plus, we've got, as we wrap up today, our Southern Food for Thought. And a lot of you on Christmas Day or throughout the weekend, at some point, prime rib is going to be served to you. For a lot of you, that is a Christmas tradition. So we have pulled up an article courtesy of thespruceeats.com, Prime Rib Secrets to Pick the Best Roast. So if you've got to go out and pick your prime rib out at the grocery store or your favorite meat market or wherever you get it, this article from thespruceeats.com is going to help you out, as we're going to help you select the best prime rib. All that coming up here on today's Y'all Show. Don't forget, you can text us anytime, 615-208-4184. Email address, mail at yall.com. I was thinking of another email address that I have, and you're welcome to email me there if you can figure it out. But we would love to hear from you, no matter what the communication form. So we had that terrible tornado pass through Middle Tennessee and portions of West Tennessee on Saturday of this past weekend. Six people have lost their lives, two children among them. But a feel-good story out of the Volunteer State, as at least one family in Clarksville are happy that their youngster has survived, as this couple and their two children are now having to seek a new home after a tornado ripped through the Clarksville area, and it ended up sweeping away their four-month-old child. But luckily, this child was found later and found in a nearby tree. What a story. Sydney Moore, her boyfriend, and their children inside their home in Clarksville when the EF3 tornado went through Saturday. And Moore said the tornado, which destroyed their mobile home and other belongings, picked up her four-month-old child and put the child in a tree. She told Nashville news station WSMV, "Something in me just told me to run and jump on top of my son. The moment I jumped on him, the walls collapsed." And she said that they ended up finding this youngster again in a tree. After about 10 minutes of searching, looking for the kid, she and her boyfriend found the baby in a tree that had fallen in the rain. She said, "I thought he was dead. I was pretty sure he was dead, and we weren't going to find him, but he's here. And that's by the grace of God." So some positive things coming out of that terrible weekend in Middle Tennessee. A member of the Moore family has established a GoFundMe to help the family rebuild and buy the necessary items for them and their children. But a good story after at least two children lost their life this past weekend. Here's one young baby, just 4 months old, that was found in a tree by the grace of God. Let's also move on to other headlines of the day here on the Y'all Show. And how about this story coming to us from Asheville, North Carolina? Interstate 40 runs right through the Asheville, North Carolina area. That's a very popular highway in the South, sort of an east-west corridor. And overnight, over the weekend, rather, I think it might have been in the overnight hours. I don't have the exact time. A plane crashed on I-26, and it has caused one heck of a delay on traffic, as the North Carolina Department of Transportation said that parts of the interstate remained closed Thursday night as this plane crashed at 8:15 on Interstate 40. The plane had two people on board, their conditions unknown. According to officials from the Asheville Regional Airport, the pilot approached the airport, said that they needed assistance, and then that they were unable to make it to the airport and had to land on Interstate 26. And they landed between Airport Road. I'm sorry, this happened on I-26, not I-40. I-26 also meets up I-40 in Asheville. But I-26 is where the airport is, just off of, south of downtown Asheville, North Carolina. But officials from the regional airport there said that as the pilot approached the airport, they reported that they might need assistance. But this pilot ends up crashing between Airport Road and Long Shoals Road. And those areas are going to likely be closed on the interstate until at least lunchtime on this Friday. The closure necessary for Duke Power to restore three electric lines that crossed both directions of I-26. One reason this story is newsworthy is the plane crashed on this interstate and it closed both lanes of traffic. So I-26 going into Asheville, completely a mess overnight and into today. And that area, I have come through it a couple of times in recent history, and it's so bad. They've been working on I-26 near that airport. It's been so bad that it's caused me at least an hour and a half to 2 hour delay getting through Asheville. And it shouldn't be that way. And you don't have the delay if you keep trucking on I-40 and don't get on Interstate 26. But I don't know what in the world's going on there in western North Carolina that they've had such a delay. Is North Carolina not paying their bills to these construction crews? And here we have a plane going down on I-26, and that's going to keep the interstate closed in both directions. A humongous mess. Stay away from the Asheville area if you're able to here going into the weekend. A guy that represented Asheville in Congress is Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows left his seat in western North Carolina to go be Donald Trump's chief of staff. And today, a federal appeals court are going to hear arguments over whether the election interference charges filed against Trump White House chief staff, the former White House chief of staff Meadows, if they should be moved from a state court to federal court. As he's been charged along with President Trump and 17 others, these are the 18 folks that had to go into Fulton County's jail and have their mugshots taken. And Mark Meadows has filed a petition basically to get his case moved to federal court. And if that's going to happen, chances are a lot, even President Trump's case, would be moved to federal court. But Mark Meadows accused of scheming to keep Donald Trump in power after Joe Biden won Georgia's election in 2020. Mark Meadows testified at a hearing back in August that the actions detailed in the sweeping indictment were taken as part of his job. So we'll find out today, as the appeals court on the federal level is going to start hearing arguments about Mark Meadows trying to move this to the state court. Now, Sidney Powell and Kenneth Cheeseborough, those were Trump attorneys that have already pleaded out. They were part of that 18 group of folks that got mugshotted and fingerprinted in the Fulton County Jail. And now Sidney Powell, who I give her the title of the biggest bullhorn, isn't that what it's called? The biggest bullhorn for Trump during this whole election crisis of 2020. She was the one constantly pushing that Trump legally could win the 2020 election. She was constantly being interviewed. She was on TV shows and more. And she's one of the first people to take a plea argument. So if I were Donald Trump, I would not be very happy with Sidney Powell. I would not be happy with Kenneth Chesebro. But apology letters that these two lawyers have penned, and it's part of the requirement of their plea deals in the Georgia election interference case, they have written those letters. And you know what? Both Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesebro's apology letters are one sentence long. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution got copies of the letters through an open records request. Both were handwritten and, according to the newspaper, terse in their nature. And the letter acknowledged the legitimacy of Joe Biden's win in the 2020 election and denounces the baseless theories they pushed to claim Trump was cheated out of a victory. Sidney Powell wrote in her one-sentence apology, "I apologize for my actions in connection with the events in Coffee County." That's what she wrote. And that's about all she wrote. That's an expression we sometimes say. Chesebro, he wrote, "I apologize to the citizens of the state of Georgia and of Fulton County for my involvement in count 15 of the indictment." And that's all he wrote. So I hope a lawyer didn't get paid a lot of money to help them come up with that apology letter. But these two attorneys now apologizing in the state of Georgia. Speaking of Georgia politics, a congressman from the Peach State, Drew Ferguson, is going to retire from Congress as he is a member of Georgia's 3rd Congressional District and has been serving since 2017. Drew Ferguson in a solid red district in the state of Georgia, representing Atlanta's southern suburbs, going from Atlanta's southern suburbs down to the Columbus areas, essentially where his congressional district is. He's also on the U.S. House Ways and Means and Budget Committees. Drew Ferguson deciding to hang it up as a congressman after this session ends, but should not be a Democratic pickup, in my opinion, as that's a pretty solid conservative area of Georgia. Some news out of both Oklahoma and Florida. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma, who challenged a Teamsters boss to a fight last month. You might remember that clip on the TV as they were having a committee meeting, and this guy got a little testy with the Teamsters boss. Not probably a good look. Well, Thursday, Congressman Mullen of Oklahoma slammed his fellow congressman from Florida, Matt Gaetz, said that Matt Gaetz, quote, was living off his daddy's money, and he said that after Matt Gaetz cited Mark Wayne Mullen's increase in wealth as a reason to ban members of Congress from trading stocks. Mullen posted on X, "I hear that Congressman Gaetz has criticism of hard-earned success. He should try building a business that gains value. It's more gratifying than living off your daddy's money." Mullen reacting to a graphic that Matt Gaetz reposted that showed that Mullen's net worth went from $12 million back in 2018 when he was a House member to now he's got a net worth of $63 million. He only gets $174,000 a year from being a member of Congress. And Matt Gaetz, in his social media post, talking about his fellow congressman, his fellow Republican, by the way, wrote, "We should pass a ban on trading stocks." And now they're having some fight. I wonder if they're going to take it out in the parking lot and get it on. I'm willing to pay money to see that. But that is some of the news headlines from the political world here to get our Friday Y'all show going. We got more headlines. When we come back after the break, we'll take you to Memphis, where a UPS truck had over 60 packages taken from it. You know, that's porch piracy gone wild when you're brazen enough to go into a brown truck and take all those packages. We got the story out of Memphis. We got more headlines. Again, you can join us here. Just send us an email, mail@y'all.com. Hang on, y'all. More Y'all coming up.
And look who's looking at me. Her second cousin was my third grade teacher. I used to cut her grandma's grass. Back then she was nothing but
Ricochet, 90s country right here, and I'm playing Daddy's Money. I was just telling y'all about the story of the congressman from Oklahoma getting into a dust-up with the congressman from Matt Gaetz, that would be from Florida, about him living off of Daddy's Money. Lord, if you got it, that song right there actually has a little bit of a backstory. It was written about country music singer Jeff Carson. Jeff Carson had a couple of big songs like Not On Your Love and The Car. We lost Jeff Carson several months back. He was a Franklin, Tennessee police officer after his music career kind of stopped making hits. And a cool guy from Missouri, a Atlanta Braves fan, by the way. I used to see him sporting his leather Braves jacket around Music Row and was kind of jealous of it. But Jeff Carson, we lost him. This song was actually written about Jeff. And I guess he must have had a wife that was living off of daddy's money. I'm not exactly sure who wrote the song, but neat little song from Ricochet. All right, we're back here on the Y'all Show continuing our headlines. Hopefully, if you're living off of daddy's money, well, that's just fine with us. All right, we welcome everybody, no matter how you got your wealth into the Y'all Show. Some idiots in Shelby County, Tennessee, are getting their wealth the wrong way. An update from Memphis. 60 packages have been stolen from a UPS truck, and that's happening right here on the edge of Christmas. A truck driver told police that he was on his delivery route on Hilliard Lane in South Memphis when six men wearing jogging suits and medical masks ran up to his truck and began taking packages. The driver said each man took around 10 packages. They took 10 packages, and that was about 60 in all that were taken. The suspects then took off in four sedans, a red one, a white one, a gray one, and a khaki. I guess you could call them their four sleighs. Officers went around the area but were unable to find the suspects. No arrests have been made, but that's a pretty brazen robbery. That's what that was, y'all. Literally going inside a UPS truck and stealing 60 packages. I hope they got nothing but lumps of coal in those UPS packages. I hope they got nothing but dog food in those UPS packages. And I hope all the people that those packages were intended for will be able to get whatever they were expecting in time for Christmas, and we can make the most of the situation. But what is going on in this? I think happened in broad daylight in the Memphis area. Blue, where are you, sir? Blue's my friendly Memphis area UPS driver and a listener of the show. Hopefully, Blue, that wasn't your truck. That wasn't your UPS truck, or you might not have a job today. But a lot of these UPS drivers, by the way, this time of year, they have a co-pilot. I'm sure they've got a better name than co-pilot. But they have someone that rides along with them on their routes because of the high demand of deliveries for the Christmas season. And so I'm surprised there wasn't a driver or there wasn't an assistant on board when these knuckleheads came and stole an estimated 60 packages off of one UPS truck. Scrooge, get them. Get them, Scrooge. Here's a knucklehead story coming from the University of Arkansas. A member of the football team for the Razorbacks has been arrested and accused in a burglary in Washington County, Arkansas. Court records show that defensive lineman Jashad Stewart arrested this week and faces charges of burglary and first-degree criminal mischief. According to the Washington County Sheriff's Office, the Arkansas football player has been released on a $5,000 bond. A team spokesperson confirmed that Stewart had been suspended indefinitely from the Razorbacks football team. He's a Jonesboro, Arkansas native that had 7 total tackles and 2 tackles for loss in the 2023 season, where he played 5 games for Sam Pittman's Razorback football team. But one member of the team now suspended indefinitely, and that would be defensive lineman Jashad Stewart, now in some hot water in Northwest Arkansas. Other sports news of the day, the St. Petersburg Rays. Does that have a little bit of a ring to it, y'all? You like that name? Well, that was what some members of the St. Petersburg City Council had hoped for, that the Rays would consider changing their names, because the Rays are just about to figure out a deal to where they can build a really fancy ballpark in another section of St. Petersburg and stay in St. Pete and not have to move to another city like Nashville. And so a proposal about moving the stadium and then, of course, changing the name was discussed Thursday, but a resolution did not pass, and the Rays were steadfast in their approach of not wanting to change their name. And unfortunately for Gina Driscoll, a council member there in St. Petersburg, she brought the idea forward because constituents think that Tampa Bay really just means the city of Tampa, and she wanted to push forward that this was a St. Petersburg team. But in the end, the motion failed, and that was good news to the Rays, as team co-president Brian Auld suggested that the name Tampa Bay encompasses all of that area of Florida. And they're looking to build a $6.5 billion ballpark in an area of St. Petersburg. And that would be a really big thing. And that's why it's important to have all of the area be part of this effort. As Auld said, "We are the Tampa Bay Rays. Our name is deliberately inclusive. Our fans live throughout Tampa Bay and Central Florida." And so they're hoping to have this thing get going. The $6.5 billion is not just for the ballpark that's been planned. It's also for a complete downtown redevelopment project that will include housing, museums, retail, and more. The ballpark specifically, a new home for the Rays, who've been playing ball in Tampa since the 90s, in a fairly old Minute Maid Park now. I think that's what that thing's called. $1.3 billion is the proposed cost for a new ballpark that would be located on the same 86-acre track of downtown land where the Tropicana Field now sits. Did I say the right name of the field? I'm thinking of juicy orange drinks right now with Tropicana Field, but I think I said Minute Maid. Okay, sorry. I think Minute Maid was Houston. Houston, and then Tampa's got the other fruity ballpark name. But a new ballpark evidently could be worked out, and the Rays will be able to stick around St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay going forward if they can figure out all the deals. Tampa Bay in the news also for a trade that went down on Thursday. The LA Dodgers, they're really spicing things up with the signing of Shohei Ohtani, who debuted his Dodger uniform Thursday. But now the Dodgers and the Rays have agreed on a trade to send starter Tyler Glasnow from Tampa to the Dodgers. And that's a big loss for the Tampa Bay Rays. And if the deal goes through, the Dodgers will acquire Glasnow and outfielder Manuel Margot and right-handed pitcher Ryan Pepo, and outfield prospect Johnny DeLuca will be sent from the Dodgers to the Rays. So some baseball transactions going down on Thursday. How about that NFL game? Did you see the Las Vegas Raiders put 63 points up on the board against the struggling L.A. Chargers? 63-21, the final. I think the halftime score was something like 47-0. The most points ever scored in Raiders franchise history on Thursday night football. And this is a team that had 0 points in their last game. They lost the game 3-0 the other day and come back on Thursday night football and have one heck of a showing. We got more headlines we're going to get to as we go forward on today's Y'all Show. We've got Dolly Parton. She's going to build a $60 million building in Panama City, Florida. We'll tell you what that's all about. We also have coming up in our headlines today that we'll get to in hour number two, information about pine trees in the South. We got all that coming up. We want you to stick around for the fun. When we come back, we're going to rewind to Tuesday as Matthew Caye was our very special guest. He has just released a new book called Forest for the Trees. And when we return, we're going to play a portion of our interview as part of our Southern Book feature. And that's coming right up on the Y'all Show, powered by y'all.com, the South's homepage. Go there and you can find episodes of this show. All of our more than 700 episodes are absolutely free of charge to listen to, and you can check it out at y'all.com. We're back with more Y'all after this.
I know there's nothing worse than a bad goodbye, and you think you feel better if you have a good cry, but save those tears for tomorrow when there's nothing better to do. It's a beautiful night. Don't waste it on the blues. Time is all it takes for a broken heart to mend, and sooner or later, you know you'll try love again. So why not start tonight? You've only got the hurting to lose. There's a full moon out. Don't waste it on the blues.
Bonjour, Gene Watson. We're back here on the Y'all Show. Gene Watson, that was his last top five song. That was number five back in 1989. It was his last top 10 song, FYI, too. And Don't Waste It on the Blues. I said bonjour because Gene is from Paris, y'all. Paris, Texas. And a cool song out on Atlantic Records when he had that one on the radio in the 1980s. We're back here wrapping things up here on the show all about the Southeast. This is the Y'all Show from Paris, Texas to Paris, Tennessee. Tracy Lawrence had an awesome song called Paris. I think it was called Paris, Tennessee, but that's a cool song you might want to check. Also on Atlantic Records, if you want to get all nerdy with me here, all you folks that are vinyl heads. That was off of Tracy Lawrence's debut record back in the early 1990s. We're continuing on our fun here on the Y'all Show. We try to have fun when we get together with you. And one way we do that is to bring on great guests. And on Tuesday, we welcomed in a Southern guy, Matthew Caye. Speaking of France, he has a French name. And in fact, I just messed up his name. His name, he told me, is pronounced Matthew Caye, spelled C-A-I-L-L-E-R, but pronounced Caye, like he said, literally, like Yippee-Ki-Yay from Die Hard. I think that's where that is from. Man, what about Bruce Willis? He's having a tough time with all of his health woes right now. But back to talking about our guest from Tuesday. Matthew has penned a new book called Forest for the Trees. He's written several things in his career as a writer and a poet and more. Very, very talented guy. We had him have some stuff up on y'all.com several years back, and we thought it would be a good time to bring him back on the Y'all Show after having his work posted at y'all.com, the South's homepage. So he's an alumnus, if you want to say, of Y'all, and we're glad that he took time this week to come back on the Y'all Show and talk about Forest for the Trees and his various writing that he does. And he here talks about his style and his motivation and more. So let's go in and hear Matthew Kaye, the author of the new book of short stories, Forest for the Trees, here on the Y'all Show. It's our ICYMI, in case y'all missed it, from Tuesday's Y'all Show.
This book is comprised of 15 short stories, very diverse cast of characters. You have surrogate moms, you have priests, you have war veterans, you have a young kid kind of figuring out his way, right, you know, post-college. You have a college professor. Everyone is kind of steeped in their own troubles. I called it Forest for the Trees because they're very wedded to their own issues, and it's very hard for them to kind of see outside of that. And they're looking for moments of connection. They're looking for a silver lining to their lives, and they're trying to figure it out as best they can. So for them, their issues are kind of all they can see in front of them, and they're doing their best to deal with them. And there's some humor in there. There's some loss. There's some heartbreak. There's really something for everyone, and so far the book's had really nice reviews because of it.
All right, you said 15 stories are collected in this thing.
Yes, 15. And some are, you know, 6 to 7 pages, and some go as much as maybe like 35 pages. But there's definitely enough to kind of kick back and enjoy for if you want to just read something during your lunch break. Stories are definitely available for that. And then at night, if you're in bed and you want to read something a little longer, there are definitely stories like that as well.
HiddenPeakPress.com, the website that you can go find more information on our guest here, the author of this book, Matthew Kaye, on the Y'all Show. Now, Bruce Herring is director of the Paris Book Festival, of which you won an award. And Bruce has a pretty bold statement about you, Matthew. He says, Matthew Kaye is one of the most talented writers in the United States. He didn't hold back.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. My jaw nearly hit the floor when I saw that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is it still on the floor? Because that's pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. And also just to, you know, win the top prize in general fiction at the Paris Book Festival was kind of a big deal for me and for a short story collection. Usually those awards have been handed to novels most of the time. So for short fiction to sneak in there and kind of steal one was felt really great, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, what is the definition, Mr. Comedian slash writer? What is the definition of a short story?
Oh, great question. So, yeah, I would say a short story is, I like to think of it as kind of a music album. We were talking about records earlier, and you've been playing some good music. You know, each story is kind of like on an album, comprising, you know, the entire album of different stories. So a short story to me is something in the range of probably 5 to up to like 35, 40 pages. So it's something you can enjoy in a single sitting. I think that's usually how I think of it, but not to be confused with microfiction or poetry. These are flash fiction. These are something that are much shorter, usually fit on a page or 2 pages at most. These are like old-timey things that we think of when we think of Hemingway. We think of, you know, the gift of the...
All right, that's Matthew Kaye, and you can go to our podcast options and hear more of the conversation that we had with him on Tuesday as he has written the new book, Forest for the Trees and Other Short Stories. We're back with more, y'all, in hour number two. Stay tuned to the show about Dixie. How y'all doing? It's the Y'all Show. It's our middle hour here on a Friday. Hope you're doing well, getting ready for a big weekend. The general of all things Southern, that would be yours truly, John Rawl, here with you to help guide us through this second hour. We've got more headlines. We got information on moon pies that I'll tell you in just a second here as part of our headlines across Dixie today. Also, we've got Paul Hare dropping by with his financial report for the week, what's going on Wall Street, how have things changed with the market. We'll discuss that with Paul shortly. And before this hour, we write it off and send it to the history books. We're going to have a look at the new movies that will be making their debut this weekend. Walker's among them. So we got all that, y'all, on the Y'all Show. Don't forget that in addition to broadcasting on tremendously awesome radio stations, that we are also in podcast form. If you miss any of our show, you can listen to us on your own schedule. And you can find the Y'all Show podcast as we're available on Spotify. We're also on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app, plus Apple Podcast, Apple iTunes. And you can find the Y'all Show at y'all.com, YALL.com. So easy ways for you to stay in touch with us. And we appreciate all of you who have taken the time to listen to us by listening to us live, in some cases on the radio, that is, or some of you who get us on your own schedule by listening to us in the podcast options. Thank you so much. You can take the Y'all Show with you when you have that podcast, as we're nice and portable, whether you're getting us on a smartphone or perhaps you've got a laptop that you've got podcasts pulled up on there. Thank you for all of you who listen to our program. Let's pick up with some of the news headlines of the day. And the first thing I want to tell you, this is kind of a traffic report. Stay away from Asheville, North Carolina today, as they're still cleaning up after a small plane crashed on Interstate 26 near the airport there in Asheville, North Carolina. We don't have an update on the condition of the pilot and the passenger that crashed, but they were trying to land at the Asheville Regional Airport when the pilot ended up not landing there and ended up crashing. And this crash on Interstate 26 has closed both lanes of traffic overnight. And this is on Airport Road, the I-26 stretch between Airport Road and Long Shoals Road, south of downtown Asheville, North Carolina. And according to the North Carolina Department of Transportation, this could be quite some time before they get the interstate up and going, because what happened was there were some power lines that the plane clipped, and Duke Power has to come out and restore three lines that cross both directions of I-26 traffic. A huge mess. I mean, I'd hate to look at my phone here and look up the map of traffic problems going on in this city in western North Carolina today, but we hope for the best out of this bad situation, and hopefully the pilot and the passenger made it out okay. I'm not sure, but we do know that if you're passing through on Interstate 40 or on I-26 today, you'll feel the effects of this terrible, terrible traffic situation in western North Carolina today. Other headlines across the Southeast today. Want to let you know that data shows that the Fort Worth Independent School District had an 88% teacher turnover rate. No wonder education is a complete mess out there. But a teachers union out of this independent school district in Fort Worth said the schools are in crisis and that new data on teacher turnover is troubling, according to Stephen Poole of this teachers union. And all that mixed in with the fact that student enrollment has been declining in Fort Worth, Texas. But according to the numbers, during the 2022-23 school year, some schools had as much as an 88% teacher turnover rate. And the school union says that this is completely unacceptable, and that this astronomical teacher turnover rate should be a red flag for the superintendent and the leadership to really identify what's going on with schools like this one that has, in a given year, an 88% turnover rate. Wishing those in Fort Worth the best. In fact, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if those kind of numbers are pretty common throughout the Southeast. It's a tough job being a teacher. Absolutely a tough job, and we feel for you. And we hope, hopefully they can get that number down and have more stability there in the ranks. How about some tree news to tell you about, as there have been an issue with a pine species species. And in the state of North Carolina, these control burns are rekindling a fire culture to boost the range of these tree species in the state of North Carolina and beyond. Prescribed burn associations are proving a key to conservationist effort to restore the longleaf pine range that is found in many southern states. And so volunteer teams working on private lands are filling service and knowledge gaps by going out and helping with prescribed burns. So just wanted to pass that along. If you're passing through the southeast right now and you're seeing some smoke on the horizon, it could be a control burn going on. And want to let you know that the longleaf pine specifically represents just 3% of the 140,000 square miles it encompassed before industrialization and urbanization. So it's not all that common to find this particular type of pine tree. And we got to keep those in mind as we're also remembering right now that Christmas trees have a lot of trees being harvested and all that. I don't want to see control burns around Christmas trees, especially though. Also, I want to let you know today in our headlines across the Southeast, did you realize, and speaking of Christmas, did you realize the fella that wrote Jingle Bells has a connection to the South? His name was James Lord Pierpont, and he was born in Boston back in 1822. And his father was actually a pastor up in Boston. But at some point, this guy comes to the South, and he ends up writing the song Jingle Bells back in 1857. It was originally titled The One Horse Open Sleigh. And he wrote this song, and I think Jingle Bells is one of our most famous Christmas songs. Someone extremely close to me even named their pet cat Jingle in honor of Jingle Bells. And Jingle's a pretty cool cat. And so, yes, this song has a connection to the Southeast. And this guy, again, who was the son of a preacher, ends up coming to the South. And in Savannah, he was part of the Unitarian Church in Savannah, Georgia. That church closed in 1859 because the Unitarian Church was very strong on abolition movements and more. And so his dad ended up going back to the North, but the younger John Pierpont stayed in Savannah. And at the Civil War's outbreak, he enlisted as a private in a group called the Lamar Rangers, and he fought in the Civil War for the Confederacy, even served in the Georgia Cavalry Battalion, and went on and wrote a song about the Confederacy called Our Battle Flag that some people might have heard out there somewhere. But in the end, he survived the war, and he moved his family to Valdosta, where he continued to work in music. And this guy who wrote Jingle Bells, James Lord Pierpont, would live all the way to 1893. He died in Winter Haven, Florida, at the age of 71. And I had no idea that Jingle Bells had a connection to the South, and it had a connection to a guy born in Boston but came to the South and even fought for the Confederate Army during the Civil War. James Lord Pierpont. You never know about American history, do you? And you never know about Southern history. Lastly, in our headlines, Moon Pie will be the first brand to capitalize on what's called an intergalactic demographic, as Moon Pie has come up with a marketing plan. The Knoxville-based advertising agency Tombras confirmed that Moon Pie has made a move at a congressional hearing about the existence of unidentified and anomalous phenomena on Earth. And so they've come out, Moon Pie, their marketing firm, saying, "We are Moon Pie. We do not think about all things space 24/7, 365. And so we did it. And, you know, being a family business, we also kind of wanted to be hospitable. So if there is life out there, we're pretty convinced we're going to be the first ones to engage with them and hopefully get them to be big brand fans." Okay, nice little marketing ploy for the 107-year-old Chattanooga-based Moon Pie trying to reach out to UFOs and extraterrestrials. If you're out there, Martians, check out Moon Pie when you come here to America, because they want to be the first brand that those from outer space think of when they land right here on Earth. That's some smart marketing, in my opinion. What do y'all think? Or are they just wasting our time with that? No, they're not wasting our time. If you haven't had a Moon Pie, you're really missing out. Great, great stuff out of Chattanooga. When we come back, Paul Hare is standing by, and we're going to talk about the market. This supposedly was a pretty good week on Wall Street, and I'll get his take on that. And if you got questions for Paul, we want to hear from you right here on The Y'all Show. It's Talk with an Accent on all things Southern. Let's go get a moon pie. I like those banana ones.
Get ready, set, go. Gonna take you to the Crystal and a picture show. Well, the sky's the limit, there's no price too high. Baby, you're the apple of my eye. Got my paycheck in my pocket and some gas in the tank. Honey, your love's better than money in the bank.
Money in the bank would be a good thing about right now if you've got some Christmas shopping to do. Welcome back. It's the Y'all Show. John here with Paul Hare of the Hare Financial Group. You got all your Christmas gifts wrapped and ready?
Got them done.
You really have?
Yeah.
All right. Good for you. Overachiever. Yeah.
No, I just decided after years of running hectic, tell everybody in October, tell me what you want for Christmas, and I have it done by the end of November.
And how do they tell you? Do they tell you, or they like send you an email or text?
Well, it's family, so they just tell me.
Okay.
Hey, what do you want for Christmas? Or now, my boys have gotten to the age where they don't want presents; they just want money.
Money.
So I just give them $100 gift card each and say, "Go do what you want to do." You know,
I had someone close to me back in the day who would have no problem just sending me an email of what they wanted, and I love that.
Yeah. Just tell me what you want, you know.
And so, therefore, I didn't have to guess.
Well, this year we're doing a big family trip, so we're going to enjoy that and just have a good time. Going to go up in Kentucky and tour some bourbon distilleries and all that. So we're leaving out right after Christmas, come back for New Year's.
And this will be a family taste testing of the bourbon?
Yes, family taste testing.
Going to go to Bardstown?
Oh, that's the only place to go. Bardstown, hit Heavenly Hill, all those. So we're going to have a good time.
Pretty neat. I had a chance to ride the horse-drawn carriage in Bardstown not long ago, and a nice, lovely little town there.
Oh, it's great.
In Kentucky. And when you're there, you don't realize you're only, what, 45 minutes or so from Louisville?
From Louisville, or Lexington. You're 45 minutes from Lexington, not Louisville. Lexington.
Well, you're not far from Louisville.
No, you're not either. I mean, it's kind of in the middle, but, yeah. I mean, you just go up the parkway and just drop right in. You're not too far. Did you see the Kentucky Castle? It's outside of Lexington.
No, I didn't go to Lexington. Okay. Not on the most recent trip.
But yeah, there's a Kentucky.
But I know what you're talking about. I actually did a story. I did an interview with the people that run that. It's a
it's a bed and breakfast center now.
Right.
The guy who built it and imported it from England. He was a big land developer and contractor, and the night before they were supposed to move in, his wife said, "I want a divorce," and she walked out the door. He never lived in it. Sat empty for 35 years. Then a guy bought it and turned it into a bed and breakfast.
Right. I'm going to get the name of that thing here in a second, because I had a really good interview with them right when COVID was kicking off, I think it was. And they were – I hope they're doing okay. So many places really struggled getting through COVID.
When it comes race time, because you're less than three quarters of a mile from Keeneland, it's booked. It's booked 2 years out. You can't get a room there during the racing season at Keeneland.
The Kentucky Castle. That's what it's actually called.
Yeah, it's called the Kentucky Castle.
All right, and I did a story with them, January of 2020, and they were on the Y'all Show. Actually, you can go back in our archives.
Yeah.
On January 16th of 2020, and
he's a UK graduate and was an attorney. Is an attorney that bought it. It really inexpensive.
I talked to Christy Eckerline.
Yep,
and she came on and talked about her unique property outside of Lexington. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Paul. Makes me want to go there.
Oh, go.
Be a good place to spend Christmas.
Well, it's already booked.
When does Keeneland normally race? What time
Keeneland
of year?
Keeneland runs in April. And those are the Kentucky Derby qualifiers. There's two races at in April that are Kentucky Derby qualifiers. So if you win that, you're in the Kentucky Derby. And then the fall races are in October.
Okay.
We used to go to the April races, but the weather was so unpredictable. It'd either be real warm or real cold and rainy. So we moved to going in October.
Now, you're kind of a money man. What's your take on money and horse racing?
You got to have very deep pockets, very deep pockets, because, I mean, you're talking, we did a tour of Three Chimneys Barn and went by Four Stars, and this was, gosh, 2005, and I saw the barn, and I said, oh, what do you think of the barn? And I said, well, it's really nice. And they said, yeah, we spent $8.5 million on this barn, but that's a small barn. The big barn costs us 12. So they spent $20 million on barns.
Hmm.
And they're Taj Mahals. I'm talking walnut paneling in the stalls with stucco up top, wainscoting. I mean, it's done to the nines.
Paul, want to get your take, something that we haven't brought up, but thanks to the Kentucky Castles history, and I have my own history with this subject, divorce. How do you handle, hopefully you haven't been down that road, how do you handle divorce with clients and more? Because it's a nasty affair.
It is. Well, you sit down and you look at it, because what, in the state of Tennessee is not a community property state, so, but you are entitled to half of the assets accumulated during the marriage. You're not entitled to inherited assets unless those inherited assets are put in a joint account. So whenever I have a client that inherits money, I don't care how long they've been married, I said, you do not put this money in a joint account. Excuse me. You keep it in a separate account, because if there ever is a divorce and you put that money in a joint account, or put it into a joint asset, then, you know, it's the spouse can claim the half of that asset. They're entitled to half of the 401k, half of the pension that's accumulated during the time of the marriage. If they've been married more than 10 years, they are allowed to claim on the ex-spouse's Social Security benefit when they turn 62, if the ex-spouse has died and not remarried, even if they have remarried, as long as that other marriage hasn't gone 10 years, that spouse that's been married the longest to that person can claim spousal death benefit at age 60. They can also claim if the Social Security benefit is going to be higher than what they withdraw, they can claim the ex-spouse's spousal benefit, as long as they've been married 10 years.
Hmm. Is that pretty common, you think, across the nation, whole 10-year thing?
Oh, yeah, it is. I've been doing this 36 years and had a client go through a nasty divorce, and the spouse was trying to hide assets, and they were just upset, didn't know what they were going to do. And I said, well, first thing we're going to do is we're going to get a forensic accounting, and they're going to pay for it. The second thing is you're allowed a quadro, which is a qualified, you know, rollout of during a divorce. So you're entitled to half of their retirement account. Now, they're entitled to half of your retirement account. So, you know, it goes both ways. So we sat down, looked at it. When we announced we were doing forensic accounting, you would be amazed how quick all the assets started reappearing.
Hmm.
So they walked out. They were married 10 years in one day, and the judge did that for the simple fact of retaliating against the other spouse for trying to hide assets. So
good on that judge.
Yeah.
And you have just really fired me up. Do you realize that the marriage I had was 9 years?
So,
and it wasn't my responsibility. It wasn't my idea to get divorced. So maybe she just had something up her sleeve.
Well, but she can't get, but she cannot get your Social Security benefit because it wasn't teed.
Maybe she wanted me to not get hers, is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, that's true too. But, you know, it depends on, is it worth getting hers if yours is bigger?
No, Social hers Security is probably bigger.
Okay.
I'm in the broadcasting business, Paul. You know, but that's okay. I love it.
Yeah.
But that little, you know what? I can't believe that she would do that at night. She probably had talked to a person like you. You don't know my ex-wife, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. And I don't start advising people on asset doing all that on a divorce until after the divorce is filed. I never do it before.
I got you. Well, it's a big mess. Thank you, Kentucky Castle, for helping us bring an important subject up. Yeah. You know, this is stuff that is everyday life.
Right. And you know, and also, too, when there's a divorce, I tell if there's young children involved, there needs to be life insurance on both parents. Even the mother, if the mother's less of a breadwinner, you know, and whoever's the higher breadwinner needs the higher amount of life insurance, but also the spouse that or the parent that, even if they're earning less, they need life insurance on them, because if something happens to them, the children go to the other spouse, and there's going to be financial need there too. So, you know, it's you sit down and you plan. It's not a fun thing to do. I mean, I don't like being on that side of it, but my job is there is to advise people, make sure everybody's properly taken care of, no one's being taken advantage of. So we just sit down and we say, all right, look, you know, and I tell them point blank when they come into this meeting, we're not getting any yelling and match. We're not getting into pointing fingers. Okay. We're not getting, and I use this term, urinary Olympics. We're not doing that. We're going to sit down. We're going to be calm. We're going to talk it out.
He said urinary Olympics, in case
right,
you missed if that.
Yeah, urinary Olympics, and everybody knows what that means, so I'm not going to say it. But we're not going to do that. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk this thing out, okay? Because even if the children are under the age of 18 and the divorce happens and a parent dies, that they may not be entitled to spousal death benefit, but they are entitled to child the benefit for the children, Social Security. So that's all got to be handled, and that's got to be handled properly. So it, you know, you get a good estate attorney involved on the top of the divorce attorney, and you get a good accountant. So it's a planning process. It's not just something you throw together.
And you've been doing this quite some time, Paul. Have you ever had couples who came in during this divorce process and realized, this is way too much money, I think I might just start falling back in love with my spouse?
No, I haven't had that.
Okay.
I've had one of them say, is this really worth it? And the other one says, well, if you've had to live with you as long as I have, yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Paul Hare, Hare Financial Group here. And if you want to reach Paul going through a divorce or not, he's welcome to talk to you. 731-664-0047, 731-664-0047, how you can get in touch with the Hare Financial Group, both an insurance and investment agency.
Yes.
Is the nation going to divorce Mr. Jerome Powell? What's going on here with the Fed? What's going on with Wall Street this week?
Well, Powell's come out dovish. We knew that was going to happen, okay? We see the 10-year below 4. And it wasn't a month and a half ago, it was above 5, okay? So we're seeing that. We're seeing it starting to dial back. But I keep saying the first 45 days, Valentine's Day will be the decision on what the direction this country goes for at least the first 2 quarters, if not the whole year. And it's just really finding out. We're getting through, you know, we've had a great buying season for Christmas, but again, we've talked about it. It's all been bought on time, so those bills come due. The next thing we look at is consumer debt is at its highest. We just saw where Chevrolet, GM, is laying off 1,300 people out of their boat in their Camaro. The Camaro ends next year. They're spinning off Corvette. It's going to be its own company, and it's going to be building electronic or EV vets. You have destroyed two great muscle cars, okay? So, you know, that's a whole different show. But what we're seeing people telling them right now, here's what a lot of portfolios are recommending, okay? And I'm working with clients on that. 41 to 45% in equities. Have 16% in cash, okay? Looking at some fixed income, if it's good quality fixed income, if it's locked fixed income, don't want it fluctuating a lot. And just some short-term investments like two-year bonds, 2 to 5 year bonds, because right now they're paying the higher than the 10-year, okay? Now, I try to get clients to get involved with this money that was paying 6.15, the 10 years down, so that money's off the table. We're looking around 5.25% to 5.5% now. Don't say, well, I'm going to wait till it goes back up, because it's not going to go back up. We're going to see it start going down. Whether Powell cuts or not, we're seeing the 10-year go down. And the reason the 10-year is going down is people are putting money in cash. They're not getting the sell of the bonds they would like. They've tried to do higher rates. It's just not happening. And you've got all these people out here who bought bonds when it was 5, 4.5. They're happy. They're not unloading those bonds. So you're just, you know, you're getting what you're getting. So, and we're seeing money market accounts go down. They were as high as 5. Now they're down around 4.
Well, this week, some news out of Wall Street, they supposedly had one of their best days.
Oh, yeah.
So how did that happen?
Well, what did I say? We're going to have fourth quarter rally. We knew we were going to have that. So we're getting into the end of that fourth quarter rally, but now we're waiting to see. And I keep saying this, and I'll keep saying it until Valentine's Day. First 45 days, going to make the decision of what happens in 2024. So what I'm telling my clients are, we've set the portfolio. We may want to move just some profit off the table, put it into a fixed guaranteed interest rate, and just see what happens, and then go from there. Because we're not changing the portfolio. Realize this. If you acted on impulse when the market started tanking in 2021, it took 2 years. The average recovery is 18 months, but it took 2 years. Look where we are now. We're almost back to where we were before we had the downturn. So if you sold during that time period, other than taking your regular income, trying to protect your asset, well, guess what? You solidified the loss. If you worked the portfolio that was planned and you didn't act on emotion, hey, you're almost back to where you were. And you didn't solidify any loss. So it's just a matter of, are you going to work off emotion, or are you going to work off the plan that's been set up? And I've had a lot of, some clients I've just had to, they come in, I just had to say, look, we're not, this isn't working. And they look at me, I said, you're acting on emotion. And if you're going to continue to do this, you need to find another advisor, because you're not working the plan. And I'm not going to be the one when you wake up at age 80 and say, you're broke because you acted on emotion. So what do you want to do? And some clients I've had to technically fire, but just say, you got 30 days to find a new broker. Because they're not, and you know, I've had one call me back and said, you were right, and wants to come back. And I said, sure, come back, but we're going to work the plan. We're not going to get into an argument again.
Did these people try to outsmart you? Is that what was going on?
Well, they're not so much that. I subscribe to this newsletter. I subscribe to that one, and act on emotion. And Jim Cramer says do this. And you know what? I tell people, if those guys doing those newsletters knew what they were doing, they wouldn't be selling the newsletter to you at $199 a year. They would just be doing what they're doing. Where they're making their money is selling you that subscription. Mm. So, you know.
Paul Hare, Hare Financial Group, here on the Y'all Show, 731-664-0047. Any parting words for you, sir?
Well, no, just everybody, we'll see. Let's see.
You need to come on with us sometime next week if you're able to.
Yeah, I am.
But not on Friday. We're not going to be here Friday.
No, I'm not going to be
here. You're going to come in, and we're not going to be here.
Yeah, I'm going to come in. Y'all not going to be here. We'll do that. Let's look and see what works best.
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out.
Have your people call my people.
There you go.
We'll work it out. But
well, I want to wish everybody, if I don't get to get on the show or I don't run into you, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Just remember, best way to get hold of me is 731-664. 0047. I'm a registered rep of Securities America, SIPC.
What does that stand for, SIPC?
It's the same thing as having deposit coverage on banks, you know, the federal deposit coverage. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It just means that if the broker-dealer goes under, your account's covered.
All right. I'm going to start using that term some. I'm John Rawl, SIPC. Hey, thank you, sir. Good to see you. And again, an early Merry Christmas. We got more of the Y'all Show. We're going to talk movies when we come back.
Through the snow,
Doodle.
In a one-horse open sleigh,
Doodle.
O'er the fields we go,
Doodle.
Laughing all the way,
Doodle. Bells on bobtail ring, making our spirits bright.
What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Sounds of the season from the chairman of the board, Frank Sinatra, and little Jingle Bells. We told you earlier this hour that Jingle Bells was written by a guy who, with a connection to Savannah, Georgia, and actually fought for the Confederate Army during the Civil War. Jingle Bells, written by James Lord Pierpoint, a fellow born in Boston, Massachusetts, back in 1822. And that song, Jingle Bells, originally called The One Horse Open Sleigh, was written in 1857 by Mr. Pierpont, who lived in Savannah right when the Civil War started and decided to fight for the Confederacy. After the war, he would move over to Valdosta, Georgia, and live out his life there. And a neat little connection to the South. And what a nice job by Mr. Sinatra singing Mr. Pierpont's famous Christmas song. We're wrapping things up here on the Y'all Show for hour number two. And Christmas is a time where people go out to the movie theaters. A lot of big Christmas releases come out this time of year. And here on the Y'all Show, we are happy to tell you about some great things that you could consider doing as Christmas arrives. And if you're tired of all the family members, if you're tired of all the trash from opening up presents and nobody's volunteered to take the wrapping paper out to the garbage and get rid of it, if you just need a break at some point, yes, you do have Christmas movies for your consideration out there. And here on the Y'all Show today, we're going to wrap up this hour telling you about a few films that are hitting theaters this weekend, because it's sort of a good advance, if you will, of what you're going to see coming up on Christmas weekend. So new movies hitting this weekend include the film Christmas with the Chosen, Holy Night. And this is a film that stars Joshua Aaron, Rom Barkholder, and Alkin Barlas. Christmas with the Chosen, Holy Night is about how a young mother labeled impure and then a shepherd boy is considered unclean. It's a never-before-seen performance from Andrea Bocelli, as Bocelli highlights seven music performances and two beautiful new monologues. This is a musical out in select theaters this weekend. It's called Christmas with the Chosen, Holy Night. It's brand new. Dallas Jenkins directed this musical, and it could be a nice little escape for some of you to go out and check out this movie. That's a musical in theaters, in select theaters, at least this weekend. The big film out this weekend is Wonka. It's an adventure comedy family film that stars Timothy Chalamet, as well as Murray MacArthur and Paul G. Raymond. In the film Wonka, with dreams of opening a shop in a city renowned for its chocolate, a young and poor Willy Wonka discovers that the industry is run by a cartel of greedy chocolatiers. Take the kids out and see what Wonka is all about. It is hitting theaters. It's rated PG. And we actually have the official trailer for Wonka that I've got to play for you. Again, this makes for a nice little pre-Christmas weekend escape for you. Again, trying to get away from all the madness of Christmas. And Wonka seems like a good family film. Here is the official trailer for the brand new film hitting theaters this weekend, Wonka.
I've spent the past 7 years traveling the world perfecting my craft. You see, I'm something of a magician, inventor, and chocolate maker. So quiet up and listen down. Nope, scratch that, reverse it.
Mr. Wonka, I can see you're a man of great ingenuity.
What are you doing?
I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it? Dark, white, nutty, absolutely insane.
Many people have come here to sell chocolate. They've all been crushed by the chocolate cartel. You can't get a shop without selling chocolate. And you can't sell chocolate without a shop.
No daydreaming.
What are we gonna do, Willy?
Huh?
A double huh.
Do you have a pencil and paper?
Uh-huh.
I got an idea. I know things haven't been easy for you. They're gonna get better.
You promise?
I pinky promise. That's the most solemn vow there is.
Where do we start?
A good chocolate chip is simple.
Where's this?
It's just weird.
What's happening? Ooh, what's a chocolate that makes it fly?
Let's find out, shall we?
Who's for a hover job?
Nothing to see here. Just a small group of people defying the laws of gravity.
The Harry Potter producers helped make this thing. It's called Wonka, and it is out this weekend. So you might want to go watch the trailer for this thing instead of just listening to it. But it seems like a, as I said, a nice little family escape this weekend if you want to get out there and see Wonka. And the main actor in this film is a guy who has a unusual connection. He is an American Frenchman, born in America, but raised at least a fair portion of his childhood in his father's native France. And that's the actor Timothy Chalamet. And he is the guy that plays the role of Willy Wonka in this new Warner Brothers film out this weekend. And then if you look ahead going forward for Christmas weekend, there's going to be some big movies coming out like Smoke Sauna Sisterhood. That one's coming out. That's got Maria Mariser and a couple of other names I'm not familiar with in that movie. And we'll tell you a lot more about the Christmas weekend releases when we get to that point next week on the Y'all Show. We do have a little bit of a programming note now that I'm thinking ahead to next week. The Y'all Show will be off the air at least next Friday, and then on Christmas Day, on that Monday, December 25th, we will be off the air a few days coming up, at least one day next week on Friday, we'll be off, and then we'll be off at least the Monday of Christmas Day. And then I got to figure out what in the world I'm going to do the rest of that week. If Santa Claus wants me out of the Y'all Show chair for a few days, I may not be able to be here those couple of days after Christmas. Still trying to get my plan. That's one of the issues I have, is I do like to be organized. I do like to kind of have my you-know-what in gear. But when it comes to making plans weeks ahead, a lot of times I just don't have things set in stone. And a big reason for that is it's not really up to me in a lot of cases. I have other folks that I have to kind of go by their schedule. Then I get to figure out my schedule. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. That's unfortunately the way that a lot of our lives plays out. We're sort of at the control of others. And that's definitely my case. But if I could just figure out a way to mix in the Y'all Show and a little fun time away from the normal office setting and normal home setting and the normal setting, that would be the best Christmas gift ever. I don't think Santa Claus is going to come through on that one, but I sure wish he would, because I do love being with you, and I don't know. I just don't know. So we got travel plans up in the air for me, but Paul Hare was on, and he already has his family plan to go to Kentucky with his children and wife, and they're going to do the bourbon thing. And a large part of my Christmas, I may end up being all by myself. So, Paul, save me a chair at some of those distilleries around Bardstown, and we'll just get a nice sample of that Kentucky bourbon together. I'll let you do the driving. How does that sound? I don't know if I could handle Kentucky bourbon any time of year, but Christmas, definitely not, especially if I get the big Christmas meal to go along with that Kentucky bourbon. Look out. Not going to be fun. I bet you there are some Christmas dinners that go wrong. The word would be they go awry whenever too much alcohol served up during the Yuletide. And some people may not have expected to get hammered, and they end up doing it. It makes for a memorable Christmas. Hopefully that hasn't happened to y'all. It could happen, though, this year for me. Not sure. Thank you for listening, y'all. It is the end of the second hour. We got some fun coming up in hour three. We have some great, great stuff to pass along, so you don't miss out, okay? Welcome in. It is Friday across the South, and we get our Friday final hour going with a little party crowd, y'all. Let me hear from you.
She couldn't keep from crying when she told me goodbye. Well, I knew, Lord, it was breaking her heart and she was breaking mine. So for the sake of her feelings and the sake of my pride, I told her not to worry about me. I'm sitting here soaking up the neon lights, misery, looking for some company. And tonight I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming the back and laughing out loud. Where the smoke so thick the blues can't hang around, with the jukebox jumping like I just don't care. If they're dancing over here or fighting over, looking for a party crowd. It'll dawn on me tomorrow, wherever I wake up, I'll look back and try to recall just where the heck's my truck. So take my keys and lock them up tight, and let the good times flow. I worry about tomorrow when it comes to light. The night's still young, but I'm on the road tonight. I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming them back and laughing out loud. Where the smoke's so thick, them blues can't hang around. With the jukebox jumping like it just don't care. If they're dancing over here, I'm fighting over.
Welcome to the weekend. It's the Y'all Show, and our weekly tradition is we get your weekend going with a little party crowd from David Lee Murphy, and we actually want you to party it up big time by helping me sing along. Don't be bashful. I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming them back and laughing out loud, where the smoke's so thick the blues can't hang around. You don't have to be a good singer. It's okay, sing. The jukebox jumping like it just don't care. If they're dancing over here or fighting over there, I'm making the rounds, looking for a party crowd. Lots of Christmas parties this weekend across the South, and you can pull this one out of the record collection and play it for the crowd, well, along with all the other Christmas favorites. Thick, the blues can't hang around. with the jukebox jumping like it just don't care if they're dancing over here or fighting over there. I'm making the rounds. You know what? I think I'm going to have to go to Nashville one day. I really do. I'm going to have to go to Nashville. No, I'm just kidding. I've been to Nashville. Don't want to be a singer. There's plenty of good folks out there that can be a lot more successful than I would ever dream of being. And you know what? I hope you're one of them. Go to Nashville. Make it big. And contra music. We're back here on the Y'all Show in our final hour getting ready for this mid December weekend. And we're just a weekend away from Christmas. And everybody's excited and it's all good. And oh, things are just peachy across Dixie, hopefully for you. And we're glad that you have taken the time to be with us here on the Y'all Show as we're broadcasting on great stations. And, of course, our podcast in Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn app, Apple Podcast, and Apple iTunes. Plus, we're posted at YALL.com, Y'all, the South's homepage. As we have this segment of our Friday show devoted to Southern culture, Southern history, we call it our Friday Free for Y'all. We've got something extremely Southern to bring you here in our Friday Free for Y'all today. And the reason that we're bringing this to you today is because today in history, December 14th, I'm sorry, it was December. Yeah, I'm a day late. A day late and a dollar short. But I'm only a day late, so I don't know how I messed up the dates here. Today's December 15th, but on December 14th, 1947, a fellow named William France Sr. started talks with other racers and promoters of racing, and they got together at the Streamline Hotel in Daytona Beach, Florida, and by the end of their conversations, which lasted for a while, these folks all formed NASCAR. And that fellow was Bill France. And NASCAR owes its heritage to this week in history, the formation of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, a.k.a. NASCAR. Going back to 1947 and 1948 when it get going in Daytona, Florida. The company is actually still headquartered in Daytona Beach, and NASCAR sanctions over 1,500 races at over 100 tracks in 48 states each year. It is a very, very powerful force, especially here in the South, and it has millions of fans and brings in countless millions of dollars to our various communities that have tracks like Concord, North Carolina, of course, Darlington, South Carolina, Talladega. You got the Texas Motor Speedway here in the South. And it is a major, major form of entertainment for many people out there across the South. And maybe you're one of the big NASCAR fans. A quick update on the most recent running of NASCAR. They just celebrated their 75th birthday, NASCAR, because of that formation that Mr. France had back in the 1947 and 48 time period. They're celebrating their 75th birthday. And Kyle Larson had a very good season in NASCAR this past year. But Kyle actually was the runner-up for the NASCAR Cup Series champion as Ryan Blaney ended up winning the NASCAR Cup Series for 2023. Yes, he won it over people like Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson of California. Ryan Blaney is a guy that grew up in Ohio. You got an Ohio Yankee, the king of NASCAR right now. What happened to the good old boys? I mean, some of the other fresh faces of NASCAR right now include William Byron. He at least was born in Charlotte. He may be the only North Carolinian even racing right now in a big way. Christopher Bell is another guy that's been out racing. He was born in Oklahoma. That's a good thing. But there are millions and millions of you who continue to cut on NASCAR and follow its success. And we mark that special time in NASCAR's history back in 1947 when they all gathered this week to get things going with this incredible entertainment option for many of you. Now, we wanted to mix NASCAR with a little music because in this segment of our show, we do like to play a song. And I was thinking, how do we pull that off? How do we honor NASCAR with country music? And the best solution that I could come up with, Marty Robbins. Marty Robbins, the guy that was a huge country music singer and had songs like El Paso and more, a guy born in Arizona back in 1925. We lost Marty Robbins in 1982 at only 57 years old. He had enormous heart problems and died at St. Thomas Hospital in Nashville in December of 1982. But Marty, not only was he a great singer, he also was an actor. He was in several Westerns following the success of El Paso, the song that he had. He was in The Ballad of a Gunfighter. He was in a movie called Hell on Wheels. And then he also, as late as 1982, was in the movie called Honky Tonk Man, where he played the role of Smokey. And Honky Tonk Man was actually a Clint Eastwood produced and directed film that was set in the Great Depression. I didn't realize that Marty Robbins was part of this musical Western comedy drama film that Clint Eastwood was part of called Honky Tonk Man. But Marty Robbins in that one, and again, he had tremendous success with songs like on the music charts with A White Sport Coat and A Pink Carnation. Oh, that was a classic 50s song there. And then he had Don't Worry was a big song for him. And most of his songs, at least early in his career, crossed over into pop and had all of those big songs back in the 60s, of course. In fact, El Paso was featured in the series finale of the AMC TV series Breaking Bad. Did y'all realize that? And he's got just a great record. While Marty was still alive, he actually held a performance at the White House alongside Frank Sinatra. We just played the chairman of the board a few minutes ago with Jingle Bells. And how about Frank Sinatra and Marty Robbins having a White House concert together? The Man of the Decade by the Academy of Country Music. They gave him that title back in 1970 for his work in the 1960s. Marty Robbins. Now, maybe if you weren't familiar with Robbins' racing career, I'm going to tell you now about how this guy that was in a few movies and had a bunch of records also was into NASCAR. He loved NASCAR racing, and he always tried to run at big tracks like Talladega and the Daytona International Speedway. And his cars were built and maintained by Cotton Owens. And he had some pretty good success on the NASCAR circuit. And in 1972, at the Winston 500, Marty stunned the competition by turning laps that were 15 miles per hour faster than his qualifying time. And NASCAR tried to give him in 1972 their Rookie of the Race Award, but he would not accept it. Would not accept it. And one odd story about him racing was that in 1974 at the Charlotte 500, Marty Robbins is credited with saving Richard Childress's life. Richard Childress was a NASCAR driver from Lexington, North Carolina, and got into a wreck there. And Marty credited with possibly saving Childress's life at the Charlotte 500 by deliberately crashing into a wall rather than T-boning Richard Childress's car that was stopped across the track. Richard Childress would go on after racing to be a race car owner, and he has the very successful RCR team of drivers. And that team sometimes has the top team in all of NASCAR. Richard Childress has done extremely well in NASCAR. But NASCAR and Marty Robbins definitely had a nice love affair for a while. He's finished in a couple of races, top 10. And I think one race he was a top five guy in the race. I don't think it was Daytona, but Marty Robbins, again, not afraid to go out there. His top five finish was at the Motor State 360 in Michigan, and that was in 1974 for that one. But he loved to race. He had six top 10 finishes in his NASCAR career, and he would get off the racetrack and head over to a stage and sing his beautiful music. Marty Robbins, we lost him of a heart attack way too early, as he died back in 1982. But I wanted to play the last hit song he had. It came out just that same year of 1982. And I love this tune from Robbins because it's just got a great sound. And he's just a cool dude. Marty Robbins and a song called Some Memories Just Won't Die. This was a top 10 song for him in that year that he passed away. And we thought, as a way to combine both NASCAR and country music together, this would be a very fitting way to do it. From Mr. El Paso, Mr. Actor, and Mr. Race Car Driver himself, the great Marty Robbins, taking you back to the 1980s here on The Y'all Show.
You say it's over, you say it's through. It was a long, long time ago, and he means nothing to you. Oh, but I heard you whisper someone's name in your sleep last night. Baby, admit it, some memories just won't die. Something tells me you're not over him yet. Something's haunting you way down deep inside. Am I losing you to a memory that won't die? And some memories just won't die. Some feelings just won't leave. Oh, no matter how hard you try. And I know,
yes, I know.
Every now and then, you still think of him. I see it in your eyes. Some memories just won't die.
Johnny Cash once said, there's no greater country singer than Marty Robbins. Wow, what a voice, what a voice. That song there, his last hit song, Some Memories Just Won't Die, from 1982, for the great singer who also was an actor and Honky Tonk Man, also out in that 1982 time period, Clint Eastwood-directed film that Marty Robbins starred in. And 1982, the year that he would die, also was his last year on the NASCAR track. He raced, his final race was the 1982 Atlanta Journal 500. He raced in that, and then months later, he died of a heart attack in Nashville. But he got going with songs like A White Sport Coat and quickly had success, and then decided, you know what? It's brave enough to be on a stage singing in front of thousands of people, but I'm going to be really brave and get behind the wheel of a NASCAR car and race and put my life at risk. And he did that for various decades on the NASCAR scene, had a top five finish. And as we celebrate NASCAR's 75th birthday this week, we want to remember Marty Robbins, who combined both music and NASCAR together in his life. And it is a privilege to play Marty Robbins music for you right here on the Y'all Show, and to tell you more about this incredibly gifted singer. As Johnny Cash said, the best country singer going. And Marty died at age 57 when he died back in 1982. This is the Y'all Show. Thank you so much for being on with us. We have hashtag Hullabaloo lined up and coming at you next. And stay tuned for the fun, because we're going to tell you about Edgar Allan Poe and a nifty little restaurant that has opened up in the Memphis area that's got a name that's, you know, for Memphians, it's a pretty common name, Stax. But this is not for the record company. This is for a really cool Southern food restaurant that you can go check out in the Memphis area, and it's expanding beyond Memphis. So we've got that coming up, a little food talk, a little Edgar Allan Poe talk. Right here on the Y'all Show. See, we really do have a little bit for everybody. Something for all y'all. Hang on, y'all.
Jukebox rock and make you tip a cover band. Oh, country can. What can turn a parking lot into a party cove? What can make a new best friend out of someone you don't know? What can find the common ground between red dirt and West Coast sand? Oh, country can, get a cold one in my hand. Make these old boots wanna dance with somebody. Make my two and four wheels roll down a winding back road. Nothing turns my radio to gold like country can. Nothing makes you fall in love underneath back 40 stars. Nothing makes you wanna cry.
Man, she's got a way with words. That is a University of Kentucky alumnus. She actually graduated early from UK, and a Kentucky native, Hannah Ellis, in one of the several songs that she's put out on radio that are rather catchy, Country Can. Wow, what a song. We're back here on the Y'all Show, continuing our coverage of all things South. And we've got hashtag Hullabaloo now to tell you about. This is our chance to tell you about what people are saying on social media and give you a chance to kind of soak it all in and see if you can't learn something or get your feathers ruffled, perhaps. All that right here on The Y'all Show. And so we're going to start off with a person that Mike can compete with Hannah Ellis on writing words. We're going to tell you about Edgar Allan Poe. Edgar Allan Poe is on our mind thanks to Author Dixit at D-I-X-I-T underscore author on X. Author Dixit is the author of romance and fantasy novels. And according to their profile, they've got an excellent mix of novel and history there at their Amazon page that you can go link to if you go to at D-I-X-I-T underscore author. And what they have posted here this week that caught our eye is something called A Quiet Madness. They've got an image of this book that has been written and released by John Isaac Jones that's being pushed there on at Dixit underscore author. An excellent mix of novel and history, supposedly, in A Quiet Madness. Now, let me tell you about this book, because we went and found some information about A Quiet Madness, written by John Isaac Jones. America's most famous poet lives again within the pages of John Isaac Jones's newest biographical novel. During his early orphan years, during his tumultuous relationship with his foster father, his scandalous affairs, his glory days as a New York City literary scion, and his untimely death at the age of 40 in a barroom brawl, it's all in the new book, A Quiet Madness, from author John Isaac Jones, a book about Edgar Allan Poe. And the writer says, "For years I've been fascinated by the work of Edgar Allan Poe. When I read Annabelle Lee in the eighth grade and saw the lines, 'For the moon never beams without bringing me dreams of the beautiful Annabelle Lee, and the stars never rise, but I feel the bright eyes,' I thought those were the most beautiful lines of poetry I had ever read. In the spring of 2017, I was on my patio reading Poe's short story, The Black Cat, when I decided to write a biographical novel about his life. After 2 years of research and more rewrites than I care to mention, A Quiet Madness was born." And it's getting some positive praise. As one reviewer says, "What made the man Edgar Allan Poe sits among the great poets and wordsmiths for his literary talents." And check it out. The book is called A Quiet Madness, from author John Isaac Jones, who was fascinated by Poe for most of his young career and decided that he was going to do something about it in the spring of 2017 after reading The Black Cat. And now he's got A Quiet Madness out so we can all learn more about Mr. Poe. Did you realize that Edgar Allan Poe, in part of his wild summation of his short life, a guy that was known for his writing and poetry, did you realize at one time he was a West Point cadet? And I don't know if he chose to leave West Point on his own or that he was kicked out. But yes, sure enough, he was there under a military setting in the early 19th century on the banks of the Hudson in West Point, New York. I just saw a video of a tour of West Point of all their war trophies. They've got relics on display of all of the cannons that have been captured by U.S. troops going back to the Revolutionary War. They've got some cannons from that. They got some from the Mexican-American War. They have some from the Spanish-American War. They got a lot from the Civil War. And the funny thing is, most of the cannons on display there on, it might be called Trophy Hill, there on the West Point campus in New York State, the cannons primarily there at West Point were originally Yankee cannons that the Confederacy captured, and then the Yankees captured them back, and they got them on display. Mr. Parrott had a cannon-making factory right around the corner from the West Point campus, and that's why the Parrott gun, if you're into artillery, is pretty famous, and it was made right there on the outskirts of West Point prior to the American Civil War. But Edgar Allan Poe, I don't know if he was firing cannons or what he was doing when he was briefly there in the 19th century, but he decided at some point that poetry would be a better angle than trying to go out and shoot people in the military of the United States Army. Perhaps he would have been in the Confederate Army had he lived. Because, remember, this guy who has a connection to Baltimore, Maryland. And that's why the Ravens chose their name for the NFL team there, because of his poem, The Raven. Edgar Allan Poe and conversations about him here on today's Y'all Show. Let's talk a little food, if you don't mind. Have you been to Stack's? Stack's Kitchen is a location that has great Southern food, according to their own X account, at Stack's Restaurant. Stack's is located in Collierville, in Memphis, and in Germantown, Tennessee. They also have a new location in South Haven, Mississippi, and they've even expanded to Auburn, Alabama. Stack's Kitchen is the name of this place. It's called it's spelled S-T-A-K-S apostrophe. And if you know anything about music in Memphis, a record company that put out some good hits in the R&B and possibly the soul world was called Stax Records. S-T-A-X is how that is called. And they have a museum in Memphis for Stax. But this is the same pronunciation, but spelled differently. It's Stax Kitchen. S-T-A-K-S apostrophe. And I have not been there. And I really hate to come on and tell you about Stax Kitchen without having the personal firsthand knowledge and taste testing experience of this Memphis area eatery that's crossed over into South Haven, Mississippi, and now even located in Auburn, Alabama. But I'm going to go onto their website, if you don't mind, and they are doing great things in Memphis. The first thing I see when I log on is they've got this thing called Casseroles for a Cause, and you can get a 20% off your order, and it goes to the school of your choice for a school fundraiser that Stax is doing right now in the area. But they have, let me pull up their menu, for example, to show you some of the food that they have, as they have weekly specials and monthly specials and more. But they've got a Southern lunch plate that they now offer, featuring your choice of meat and two sides, served with a big biscuit for $12. They also have a chicken fried sausage biscuit with pineapple hot pepper jelly, and a Southwest chicken salad that you can try too. But man, what a good idea. The Southern veggie plate served up there at Stack's, $13 is the asking price at one of their locations. And then they have monthly specials like the cinnamon apple stack pancakes. They even have a coffee drink of the month, the peppermint mocha. I'm going to have to sign off here early. When a place has buttermilk pancakes and classic French toast on the menu, you need to go check it out. And so they've got plenty of sweets. They got breakfast items like a two-egg breakfast, the tacos trio, the vegan skillet, and they even have shrimp and grits on the menu at breakfast at Stax. Their website is staxkitchen.com, spelled S-T-A-K-S kitchen.com. Check it out, with locations Germantown, East Memphis, and in Collierville, Tennessee, plus South Haven, and if not already there, coming soon, I think, to Auburn, Alabama, is this place that's got some good Southern food served up daily. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Love it. Stack's Kitchen. Let's go to a X that we have coming in from BEKS is the name on X. And the X account is, I'm a little afraid to read this after looking at this X account's name. Antifa Operative is what Bex has out as the social media handle. Antifa Operative. Bex describes themselves as a South Carolina Baptist pastor. No, I'm sorry. They've got a story here. My apologies. What they've got here, this Antifa Operative, is the link to a story where it says, South Carolina Baptist pastor William Oswald has been sentenced to 40 years in prison for the repeated rape of two young girls, one of which was under the age of 11. That's what this Antifa operative is outputting on social media this week. And I don't know when this arrest happened, this alleged arrest of this man and his sentencing for 40 years in prison, William Oswald. I don't have the link to that. However, someone named Silas Webster is chiming in on social media and says here at his account, old Silas Webster, gee, what could go wrong? All those vile old white Southern guys are living true to crazy reputation. I suggest moms keep your children far away from these perverts and watch out for your husbands as well. Okay, Silas, not all of whatever you're describing there is absolutely true, but in this case, this story about this South Carolina pastor being discussed by Antifa operatives across the Southeast. And let me remind you, in defense of Baptist churches, in defense of the Catholic Church even, in defense of an organization that I've had a lot of time with throughout my life, primarily in my younger days, Boy Scouts of America, we absolutely have some bad actors in these gigantic organizations. We absolutely do. There's no denying it. And I hate it. But just because one person in, let's say, the Boy Scouts has done something to children, it doesn't mean the whole organization supports that or does that. I mean, I know in the modern scouting world, they have seminars after seminars, required stuff for the adult leaders to try to not have any of this stuff happen. And I'm sure the churches of the world, whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or in this case the Southern Baptist Church, the Southern Baptist Church is the largest religious organization in the South. And so, yeah, you're going to have people like this guy, William Benton Oswald, go out and make headlines for the wrong reason. And I do have the story up on this guy, as he's now been convicted of molesting his two young daughters. Okay, wasn't just youngsters. They were his own daughters, as he's been convicted of molesting them during the 1990s. And he's now been sentenced to 40 years in prison. He's 62 years old. And the sexual assaults happened at Dunn's Chapel Church in West Columbia, South Carolina, where he had been the pastor. And back on December 1st, jurors convicted him on three counts of first-degree criminal sexual conduct of a minor for these assaults here. And according to the news report that I'm reading, he'll likely never see freedom again as he's 62 years old and sentenced to a 40-year prison term for molesting his own two daughters. Received a, got a 20-year sentence for each of the daughters that he abused during the both the 1990s and the early 2000s. A bad dude, and he was a preacher. So we appreciate the information and passing on this disturbing story here on the Y'all Show. But here, when we go on social media, you just don't know what people are going to be talking about. And here on the show All About the South, we like to mix in the good, the bad, and even the ugly as we wrap up our conversation of the South on this Friday, heading into a mid-December weekend. We've got more to talk about. You know, for a lot of you, come Christmas weekend, at some point, you're going to be having prime rib. And so to help you out, if you don't already have that prime rib purchased, stay tuned, because I've got some helpful news as you make your way to the grocery store. As we go to the website, thespruceeats.com, for the article, Prime Rib Secrets to Pick the Best Roast. We got that coming, y'all, and we're going to have from Dixie with Love to help us close out this week of Southern Conversation. We're powered by the website of the South, y'all.com. We're the Y'all Show.
Moved into my old apartment. That's how we got said that I had mail waiting there for me. I told her that I'd come and get it. How could I know in just a minute that I'd be standing face to face to my own destiny?
Ocala, Florida native there, Chad Brock, and a big song for him. It went to number one and stayed there for 3 weeks back in the year 2000. A prime hit for that guy right at the start of the millennium. We're back here winding things out on this Y'all Show Friday edition with Christmas fast approaching. A lot of you at some point during the Christmas holiday are going to have prime rib, and I'm going to help you out. If you're going to have a little prime rib served up during the Christmas season, first of all, a quick look at some of the prime rib prices. Kroger right now has prime rib at $59. I'm not exactly sure what the size of that bad boy is, but that's not cheap. Wally World's got it for $59 as well. So be prepared if you haven't gone prime rib shopping here lately to have quite a little sticker shock. It's not cheap, as you should well be aware of, with good old Bidenomics going on. But we want you to have a delicious prime rib if you have a chance, no matter what the cost of it. And we've got an article from thespruceeats.com of prime rib secrets to pick the best roast. So don't have just a boring roast out there for people to enjoy Christmas. Have a prime rib. And we've got secrets from this article. The grade of the meat is going to play a big role in the quality of it. So you want to make sure you have the best grade possible. Did you realize the small end is something you need to be aware of, as a full rib roast could be up to 7 bones? And if this is what you're after, then kudos, according to the article. But you got to be aware of the small end, the trim, the age of the meat. Aging beef is something of a lost art. Most markets want their inventory to move quickly, and there are some risks involved with aging meat. But if you have a butcher who ages meat, then it is definitely worth the expense. So an aged prime rib will be a good thing, too. And then you have to have rest. They say in this article, the biggest secret to the perfect prime rib is rest. In fact, it is the secret for the most large cuts of meat. When the roast is nearly at the perfect temperature, it's time for it to rest, according to the article. Go check it out. TheSpruceEats.com is the website, and the article, Prime Rib Secrets to Pick the Best Roast. And that's part of our Southern Food for Thought to help close out this week's Y'all Show. Got you all hungry, haven't I? Man, a little prime rib and some mashed potatoes and gravy would be perfect on Christmas Day. And all the other sweets that go along with that. Have a wonderful weekend, y'all. I'm John Rawl, signing off here on the program All About Dixie. We give you a deep-fried dose of Dixie when we get together with the Y'all Show. We'll be back here Monday. Until that time, don't forget our podcast available, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn app, Apple Podcast, Apple iTunes, and at y'all.com. An early Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for listening.